Let's read together Leviticus chapter 22. Now in this chapter, we have a continuation of the laws concerning the priests in the first half of the chapter and laws concerning the sacrifices in the second half of the chapter. Let's begin by reading the first 16 verses of the chapter. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons that they separate themselves from the holy things of the children of Israel, and that they do not profane my holy name by what they dedicate to me. I am the Lord. Say to them, whoever of all your descendants throughout your generations who goes near the holy things which the children of Israel dedicate to the Lord, while he has uncleanness upon him, that person shall be cut off from my presence. I am the Lord. Whatever man of the descendants of Aaron who is a leper or has a discharge shall not eat the holy offerings until he is clean. And whoever touches anything made unclean by a corpse, or a man who has an emission of semen, or whoever touches any creeping thing by which he would be made unclean, the person who has touched any such thing shall be unclean until evening, and shall not eat the holy offerings unless he washes his body with water. And when the sun goes down, he shall be clean, and afterward he may eat the holy offerings because it is his food. Whatever dies naturally or is torn by beasts, he shall not eat, to defile himself with it. I am the Lord. They shall therefore keep my ordinance, lest they bear sin for it and die thereby. If they profane it, I, the Lord, sanctify them. No outsider shall eat the holy offering. But if the priest buys a person with his money, he may eat it, or one who is born in his house may eat his food. If the priest's daughter is married to an outsider, she may not eat of the holy offerings. But if the priest's daughter is a widow or divorced and has no child and has returned to her father's house as in her youth, she may eat her father's food, but no outsider shall eat it. And if a man eats the holy offering unintentionally, then he shall restore a holy offering to the priest and add one-fifth to it. They shall not profane the holy offerings of the children of Israel, which they offer to the Lord, or allow them to bear the guilt of trespass when they eat their holy offerings, for I, the Lord, sanctify them." Let's begin our study of this chapter, Leviticus chapter 22, with some background notes. In Leviticus chapter 21, we had a number of restrictions for the priests under the law. Now here in the first half of Leviticus chapter 22, these restrictions of the priests continue. In this chapter, the restrictions have to do with certain circumstances under which the priest could not preside nor eat the portion of the sacrifices dedicated to the priests. And that brings us to our doctrinal points for Leviticus chapter 22. Doctrinal point number one: under the law, certain common circumstances were restrictions for the priests. Under the law, certain common circumstances were restrictions for the priests. Notice from verses 1 and 2 that for priests to ignore the restrictions and still officiate was to profane the name of the Lord. That is serious sin. As a result, the priest would be defrocked and no longer serve as a priest, verse 3, and maybe even die before the Lord, verse 9. Remember, that's what happened to Nadab and Abihu back in chapter 10. Now, in verses 3 through 5 of Leviticus chapter 22, we see that if any priest was unclean for any reason, he could not officiate or eat of the offerings. Verse 4 gives a partial list of what circumstances made a priest unclean. Read Leviticus chapter 15 again in this connection. We see in verses 6 through 9 that if a priest did become unclean, he was to bathe in water and wait until sunset, at which time he would become clean and could again administer in the ceremonies and eat the priest's portion of the sacrifices. As the Old Testament priests had to make sure that they were not unclean when they functioned as priests, so we as New Testament priests are exhorted in 1 Corinthians 11 not to be unclean when we participate in the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 27 through 29. Now in verse 8 of Leviticus 22, we read that the priests were not to eat the meat of animals that died a natural death or were roadkill. And now in verses 10 through 16 of Leviticus 22, we have further laws containing restrictions for the priests concerning the offerings and who could eat the priest's portion of the sacrifices. No layperson, that is, no non-priest, could eat of the priest's portion of the sacrifices unless they were or became a member of the priest's household, not a visitor or a hired hand, but the family of the priest and his own household servants could participate in the meals. Verses 10 and 11. When a priest's daughter married a non-priest, she moved out of her father's house and was thus ineligible. But if she became widowed or her husband left her so that she moved back under the roof of her father, she could again participate in the priestly meals. Verses 12 and 13. If a lay person accidentally ate the priest's portion of any offering, restitution was made by an additional sacrifice. Verse 14. Verses 15 and 16 emphasize the important responsibility of the priest to maintain these restrictions. Under the law, certain common circumstances were restrictions for the priests. Doctrinal point number two. Under the law, certain offerings were unacceptable sacrifices. Under the law, certain offerings were unacceptable sacrifices. Verses 17 through 33. Let's read verses 17 through 25 at this point. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons and to all the children of Israel and say to them, whatever man of the house of Israel or of the strangers in Israel who offers his sacrifice for any of his vows or for any of his freewill offerings which they offer to the Lord as a burnt offering, you shall offer of your own free will a male without blemish from the cattle, from the sheep, or from the goats. Whatever has a defect you shall not offer, for it shall not be acceptable on your behalf. And whoever offers a sacrifice of a peace offering to the Lord to fulfill his vow, or a free will offering from the cattle or the sheep, it must be perfect to be accepted. There shall be no defect in it. Those that are blind or broken or maimed or have an ulcer or eczema or scabs, you shall not offer to the Lord, nor make an offering by fire of them on the altar to the Lord. Either a bull or a lamb that has any limb too long or too short, you may offer as a freewill offering, but for a vow it shall not be accepted. You shall not offer to the Lord what is bruised or crushed or torn or cut, nor shall you make any offering of them in your land." We see in these verses that animals with defects were not acceptable as sacrifices, just as descendants of Aaron with defects could not function as priests. In fact, the Hebrew word that's used here for defect in the animals is the same Hebrew word that's used back in chapter 21, verse 18, in reference to the defects of the priests. Remember, the priests without defects or impediments were an illustration or spiritual picture of the church as a royal priesthood. And of course, the high priest without defect or impediment was a picture of Christ as the perfect high priest. Well, in the same way, the offerings without defects picture Christ as the perfect sacrifice. Hebrews 9, verse 14 says that he offered himself without blemish to God. Also in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, we read, "Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot." We see in verse 23 of Leviticus 22 that certain imperfections were allowed for certain offerings, but notice that these imperfections were not diseases. We learn in Deuteronomy chapter 15 that the children of Israel were allowed to use defective animals for food. We learn from Malachi chapter 1 that when Israel came back from their Babylonian captivity and began to sacrifice at the rebuilt temple, it wasn't long before they were bringing defective animals as offerings for sacrifice. For this sinful practice, they had to be rebuked. by the prophet Malachi. So we see that bringing defective sacrifices was a serious sin. Now in verses 26 through 33 of Leviticus chapter 22, we see that there were other regulations that also determine acceptable and unacceptable sacrifices. Let's read these verses. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "When a bull or a sheep or a goat is born, it shall be 7 days with its mother. And from the eighth day and thereafter, it shall be accepted as an offering made by fire to the Lord. Whether it is a cow or ewe, do not kill both her and her young on the same day. And when you offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving to the Lord, offer it of your own free will. On the same day it shall be eaten. You shall leave none of it until morning. I am the Lord. Therefore you shall keep my commandments and perform them. I am the Lord, who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord." Now there's probably more factors involved in these regulations than we realize. But let me list a few possibilities as to why the Lord gave them. Number one, to distinguish Israel's worship from pagan practices. Number two, to ensure that the animals offered for sacrifice were alive and well and strong. Number three, to conserve the animal stock and not deplete the flocks and the herds. Very practical. And even number four, in view of verse 28, to teach compassion and the be kind to animals principle. So there we have some possibility as to why the Lord gave these laws, these regulations, in reference to the acceptable and unacceptable sacrifices. In any event, we see from verses 32 and 33 that keeping these regulations concerning acceptable sacrifices was very important, and not keeping them was to profane the name of the Lord. Under the law, certain offerings were unacceptable sacrifices. Now that brings us to our practical application for Leviticus chapter 22. Give your best to the Lord. Give your best to the Lord. The fact that defective sacrifices were unacceptable before the Lord has enormous practical application for today. If defective and blemished animals had been allowed for the required sacrifices, you can be sure that most folks would have improved their flocks and herds by giving the lame and the blind and the ugly to the Lord. What about us in the matter of our giving to the Lord? In the area of our time, for example, does the Lord come first, or does he just get the leftovers after the party's over, after the homework's done, after we've used our best hours for making money? What about the area of our talent? Is our Christian service as important as our careers, or just an add-on to our busy lives? And is our financial giving just token amounts after we spent the best for what we want, for our own growing accumulation of stuff? Give your best to the Lord. Give your best to the Lord.